Okay. So happy Kiyak, the month of praising. Okay. So today we want to discuss something about the praising God, and we will we'll start with a very interesting story from the Old Testament. We can read about, like, we can read it first, and then we will talk about it. It's very interesting from the Old Testament. So, we can. One by one.
It happened after this that the people of Moab, with the people of Ammon and others with them, besides the Ammonites, came to battle against Jehoshaphat.
Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, "A great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hazazon Tamara, which is in Gedi."
And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a feast throughout all Judea.
So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord.
What number is it?
That's
the
number five.
Yeah, number five.
I can't say that word.
Jehoshaphat.
Oh, God.
Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court, and said,
"O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven, and do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you?"
"Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend, forever?"
"And they dwell in it, and they have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying,
'If disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save.'"
"And now here are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and did not destroy them."
"Here they are rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit."
Okay, let's summarize what's happening and then we'll continue. That's okay. So where are we in the history? It's like after Solomon and David and Solomon, and Solomon built the temple, and then what happened after Solomon? There's his son. He was so mean to people, and then the division after, like in his time, division was for Israel and Judah. And there's a lot of kings came after them, and all of them was like bad kings. Like they are like they started to push the people to worship idols. And then suddenly this guy came to what's his name? Jehoshaphat, ba'alinan, هو اسمه. And he's not very famous king, right? Anyone like heard about him before, about the story? It's not very famous, but he has very interesting, important story. And this guy, he was good because he removed the wooden image, the idols, and God loved him for that. And I love him too. It's okay. We will use it. We'll use it then. And God loved him because he started to remove the idols. But then he did something very, very weird. And he started to marry the daughter of Ahab, the bad king. And then God, who is angry with him, but he told him, okay, since you removed the idols, I will not kill you. And then that's still the chapter 19. Now it came to chapter 20. And suddenly, like, three armies came to him. And all of them want to fight him. And he was, like, you know, afraid. But what did he do? Did you follow anyone? Follow what did he do after he get really afraid from them? What did he do? Okay, it seems like we're just reading. What did he do? Sorry? Yes, he started to cry out to God. He started to pray, this is number one. And number two, he started fasting. So prayer and fasting. And he started to say in his prayer that he's starting to remind God with his promises. And he told him that when Solomon built this temple, he said, everyone has a problem, he will come here, and you promise to solve it. Now, I have three armies came to me, and I'm coming to you, and it's your turn to give me whatever you promised. So he fasted and he prayed. And then there is a prophet called, his name, Zeal, something like that. Anyway, Jaziel, okay. And this guy, God sent him and told him, okay, now, since you pray to me, he wasn't so good, like, remember, like, from the 19th, God was, like, angry. Since you pray to me, just now it's not your fight anymore. Just be aside. It's my fight. Okay? It's not your war anymore. It's mine. But he asked him something. He said, don't be afraid. And he told him, the war is not yours, but God. Tomorrow go down against them will surely come. And what you will do, you will not fight. You don't need to fight. But you need to stand still and watch the salvation. So you don't have to fight. I will fight for you, but you just watch. I want you to watch. So what did he do? It was very weird. So now he has three armies, and he has just one word. He's saying, like, okay, you don't have to fight, but you have to go down. Like, you do not stay at home. Just go down and see them and watch what I will do. So this guy, he believed in God, and he said, now it's a time of praising without anything. I didn't see anything yet, but it's time of praising. So what did he do is very weird. And if we ask anyone working for army or some soldiers what he did, he's like suicide. So he kept people who's like the strong people fighting and people with swords and stuff just behind. And he started to put people like who are praisers, like who want to pray. He knows how to praise God in the front. And they start to praise God. They started to praise God. And he watched what God did. And suddenly, and what did he, what the praise was about? Okay, let's beginning from the beginning. He rose, because remember this word, watch. And then he rose early. And then he started to say the praise of Psalm 118. Sammy, it's number 21. He started to say, Psalm 18, praise the Lord for his mercy endures forever. The same praising we are praising the church. And then suddenly what happened is like these three armies killed each other, and he continued praising God. So this guy, very interesting. First, like called for prayer, fasting, and before anything happened, he believed and he started to praise God. And he kept watch, he rose early. That's what this guy did in the time of Old Testament. Why we're saying this story? Because today we are starting actually second day today, right? Of Kiak. We're starting the month of praising. And to be honest, if you don't understand why we're praising and how we praise, you will never enjoy praising, even if you know it by heart. Even if you come every Saturday and saying happy, but you don't know, you don't understand what this praise related to you, you're missing the point. So tonight we'll try to just get closer to what the meaning of praising and why we should praise. Like we go to the liturgy and we pray, why praising? Like, why praising? And in Kiak, especially in Kiak, it's very unique, you know, melody, and it's very, very interesting and very happy, you know, you find it very different. But do you think, like, for praising, like, the church saying that praising is the highest level of prayers, the highest level ever of prayers. Like, if you pray for something and you really want something from God and you start to say, okay, thank you, God, for whatever, and I want 1, 2, 3. But why praising is the highest level of prayer? What do you think? Why?
Because you're not asking for anything in return?
That's right. You're not asking for everything. You're just anything. You just go and praise God and just nothing. I don't want anything. I'm just coming here to praise you. Okay, but how can I benefit from praising? First of all, do you know what the other name of Kiyak praising? Saba Arba, 7 and 4. So why Saba Arba? What the meaning of Saba Arba? Why we're call it Saba Arba? No? 7 what? That's right. So 7 theotokias and 4 hoses. So what's a hose? What's theotokia? You can give it to her if you want. Saint Mary Theotokos. You give him the one. It's not working. Okay, Theotokos.
Theotokia is praise for Saint Mary, and host is praise for God.
Okay, so there is 4 hoses, which is the same hoses all over the year. We come every Saturday night, we stay after midnight, and we say the 4 hoses, and we will now explain why it's 4 hoses and what the relation between this 4 hoses and myself. And then it should be ended with the liturgy. Okay. Let's explain first what happened in praising God. And what does it relate to me? Why, like, regardless, okay, I'm coming to praise God. Okay, I know that. That's good. But what the relation between this praise and myself and the story of my life? Does it make any relation, the story of myself and the praises? That's what we'll discuss now. Okay, so we come Saturday night, or Kiyak, we start the same way, and we start with Agbeya. What hour we pray? What hour? Midnight. Thank you, Tamer. It's midnight praises, so we say midnight. And do you remember the gospel of the midnight in Gbe? What the gospel talking about in the midnight? The end of what? The gospel of the end. It's kind of, but yani, ismaha It's the end, but kind. In the end, okay. Now it's 10. The 10 what? 10 versions, right? So what happened? We're saying the gospel of 10 versions, and then suddenly the voice coming to them, arise and meet the. Yes, and meet the bridegroom. And what happened? 5 of them, the wise, they came, they have the right to come and arise, and 5 of them were trying to fix the lamb, but it was too late. And then the church was like, okay, after this gospel, we have a very nice hymn called, yes, Tinthino? Yes. Arise, O you sons of light. Arise, O you sons of light. We remember that we're now in the middle of night, and then there is dark everywhere except in the church. And now a voice come to everybody. Arise, O you sons of God. Okay, we arise. That's fine. That's why we're here, right? But it's not talking about arise from this sleep. Like your heart, arise. When every time you pray this, every time you praise this hymn, remember that. One day, one night, one time, that will be a final call. Arise. And will not be, it's a kind of just one midnight and will end with liturgy. It will be final call. So every time, that's how the church started. It started with the gospel of the 10 virgins with the voice of arise. And now they are telling everyone, arise, O you son of God, of light. There is dark everywhere, but you are not a son of dark anymore. You're a son of light. Just arise to praise God. Arise to meet Jesus, to meet the Lord. Okay, but do we in Kiyak or Easter or anything, what do we praise? Do we praise the occasion? Like now, what we're praising in Kiyak? What we're praising for? I'm not going anywhere. What we're praising for? Salvation. So we're praising for salvation. So it's salvation. Okay. Saint Mary? Okay. What else? So in every time we come, we praise the presence of God. So the voice coming, come and meet the Lord. So the Lord is in front of us. And now, after this hymn, we got to know that we're here in front of God. Every single word we'll say after this hymn, you will say it directly to Him, to God, to Jesus. So He's in front of us, and now it's a time to praise. Let's praise. Okay? So, and then the church saying that, now watch. You remember Yoshaphat? Just watch. Come and watch. You're coming for prayer, come and watch. And then we start with the host, the first host. Okay, now we're starting to be the first host. And why we're praising first host? Do you remember what the occasion of the first host? Who's the first one ever in the history praised the first host? Moses. Then in Exodus 15, right? And where else we found this host? So in Exodus 15 and Revelation 15. It's very easy to remember. Exodus 15 and Revelation 15. What that means? That means this hymn started with Moses, but in the heaven, all of us, we will say the same hymn that St. John said. I saw them, whoever passed from the sea, they are saying the hymn of Moses. So please remember this one. You will need it. Okay? All of us, we will need this hymn. I'm not sure there will be a book there or Psalmodia or no, but we will need this hymn. Okay? Okay, but okay, again, that's what happened in the past, and that will happen in the future. Okay? But why were what the relation between this hymn and myself? What should I remember when I praise this hymn? What should I remember? First thing, top of my mind. across the sea, we're doing the Maryam, the sister of Moses, we're doing this hymn while they're crossing the sea. So, okay, they're crossed. Congratulations. Thank you. What about me? What should I remember when I do that? The dark room there. Baptism. Okay. So every time we praise this hymn, please remember the day you have been baptized. Of course, you will not remember the day you have been baptized. You will be and not in a very good shape or whatever. So anyway, but I mean, remember that God, at certain point, he has elected you from billions of and billions of people, and he elected you especially from few people. And he crossed you from the sea, and you became here because of that. Every time you praise this hymn, I remember, God, thank you so much. You did that to me. You crossed, you get my hand, and you crossed with me the sea of death. Second thing you remember, if you have a big issue in your life, if you have a big problem in your life, if you have an exam tomorrow, come to God and tell him, God, I have a problem and there is no way in front of me, and the problem is coming in behind and the sea in front of me. Please, God, make a way. I'm sure you have ways, but I don't see it. Please, God, make something I can't see. You did that before. And I'm sure you have the way and you have ways. God, I don't see it like under the sun. Like, you know, there is, you know, in the hymn we say that God, he made a road. The sun never seen something. Anyone remember the words? Anyone remember the hymn anyway? And Malimin. The hymn, the first hose. Starting with what? Can you say it with him, like the melody?
It's in Coptic, so like it's not English. Yeah, because it's the. No. I don't know the words.
Anyway, when you remember it, you can say it. But I mean, you remember two things. Number one, the day of your baptism. The day of your baptism. And thank God. God, I thank you so much for that. You have elected me as few people. I'm your son. I'm the son of light. I have the right to come and praise you. You made a way. I crossed from death to life. And when I have a problem, God, I have a big issue. I don't know what to do. That the Jehoshaphat said. It's very interesting. I want you to remember this verse from 2 Chronicles. I can't remember the verse, but I don't know what to do, but my eyes will be upon you. I really don't know what to do. I have big issue in my life. I have big stress in my life. I have big problem. I don't know what to do. Okay? It's... the enemies in like my behind and the sea in front of me, and I don't see any ways, but I'm sure you can do it. So every time you sing this hymn, you remember that. And then after that, at the end of the hymn, and they're saying that, and Miriam have the triumph and the dove, right? And then she start to sing, and then remember, oh, Miriam, and they remember Saint Mary. And we say, hail to you, Mary. Because every time we remember, because Mary, the sister of Moses, the first one called after, like, by name of Mariam or Mary. And they start to praise Saint Mary. And then we'll go to the second hose, which is Psalm 135. And what happened? Okay, now we crossed the Red Sea and we came to Sinai, right? And then God started to be like, and people start to be, okay, God, we're hungry. And then, okay, defeat him. And okay, we're thirsty. And okay, go and kick the rock and get a water from the rock. So the hymn is about thanksgiving. Thank you, God, you keep giving me a lot of stuff I don't deserve. Thank you for everything. Thank you for getting me water out of the rock. Maybe also my life is a rock. My heart is a rock. Can you get me, and you also, you're still giving, you're getting for out of me a good stuff. I don't know how, but sometimes people saying that he is a good boy, he's a good girl. I don't know how. I'm just hard rock, and you're still getting water out of me. And please keep doing that. It's thanksgiving him. Thank you for supporting me today. When you come in the middle of night, okay, God, today you give me everything. You give me the health, son. You give me everything. So thanks for guiding me and get me. And of course, we know that there is not a gift without service, without except without thanks. So we thank God in this one. And then after that, we come to the third host. So now we're good, right? We're happy. We crossed the Red Sea. And we're thanksgiving, thanks God for everything, and then suddenly something happened. What the third hose about? Anyone remember? The praise of third hose is about what? No? The three young men in the middle of the fire, right? So why we're praising that? Like, we're good now. Like, we crossed the Red Sea, and we came, and God is giving us. Why we remember this? And you know what? After, like, in this hose, the longest hose ever in the praise. And there is five hymns we're saying, as if the church is like, okay, I don't want to finish this. Okay, that's weird. We're in the middle of the fire. Yes. Okay, God is giving us everything. God is giving us the baptism, and he's giving us, but still we are in the world. There is a stress. There is problems. There is fire. But guess what? If we come to the three people in the middle of fire and tell them, okay, ask them, what the best moment ever in your life? What they will say? In the middle of the fire. Why? Because I saw him. He came to us. I never saw. Do you know what that means at this time in the Old Testament? That they saw God, they saw Jesus himself in the middle of the fire. So he did not turn off the fire. He did not turn off the problems. He did not turn off the pain, maybe. But he came and shared, and he appeared to us in the middle of pain. If you come to him, like this guy, wise guy, Jehoshaphat, he was praising God, and God told them, okay, it's not your word anymore. It's not your exam anymore. It's mine. You came to me, just watch. Go and watch. It's not, he didn't say, go and sit home and watch. No, just you did everything, and you came to me, and you praise. Now just come and don't fight. Just come to the land of fighting, but don't fight. Just watch. It's not your fault. It's not your war anymore. It's my fight now. It's me against them. Every time you pray and bow your knee in front of God, bow your knee in front of God, you remember that you take all what you have and throw them under his feet. And remember every time you make matanya that you do that. Every time you do that. And what? He gave you everything, peace, faith. He gave you every good thing. So you do something of, I don't know what it's called, discharge and recharge, something kind of. So you take off something and you get something instead. So, and we start again. It's like, it's the longest psalm. So we remember that. Number one, in the middle of problems, in the middle of worry, in the middle of fear, in the middle of fire. The Church of Fathers is saying that when you pray in the middle of your problems, don't pray for God to turn off the fire or take the worry or the fear off. Just ask for him to come and be with you. Just like these three young in the middle of fire. And again, if you ask them what the best time ever in your life, they will be in the middle of fire. Because we saw Jesus Christ. Remember again, your peace doesn't come out of you, doesn't come out of circumstances. So if you're good with your friends, and if you don't have exams, and you don't have anything to do, like you don't have any fear coming out, and you feel like in peace, just remember that peace doesn't come from out. Peace comes from him. Again, when these three guys saw God, only saw them in the middle of fire. And that's why the church put this hymn. And you remember the story of these three people, and the king is like, okay, increase the fire. 7 heights. And then, no, it starts to be like 49. And that's why the church is like, you know, exalt him and what's name? Ziduha alawun. So every time the fire is coming up, okay, and we will come up too with him. Okay, that's how we will overcome. I don't ask God to turn it off. I'm asking God to be with me. And then we start after the third hymn, we start to mention saints, starting with Saint Mary, and then all the martyrs and stuff like that. And very important about this saint and why we celebrate saints. Oh, by the way, we pray for saints, or we ask them to pray for us. Like we mentioned them twice. This is the one after the third hymn, the third host, and where else? After what? So the first one in midnight, and the second one will be in the liturgy. What the difference between both of them? What the difference, yeah.
We pray for them, and then at midnight we ask them to pray for us, or the opposite.
Okay. So it's. I'll consider it the right answer. So in the middle of night, we ask them to pray for us, okay. And in the liturgy, we tell them, okay, we tell Jesus that's your commandment to pray for your saints. Because now we are in front of Jesus Christ, so we pray for them. But in the middle of night, we ask them to pray for us. But why? Like, in a situation someone ask you, like, why we are praying for dead people, or dead people pray for us? What's your answer?
I actually had someone from church ask me that question, because they're coming from a Protestant background, and they even if they're in the Orthodox Church, they still have a problem with praying to saints. And I told them, well, when you have an exam, don't you ask me to pray for you? And she said, yeah. And I was like, well, it's the same thing. We're asking saints, people that are closer to God, to pray for us, because we know that they're already there. Like, they've already made it. So. And there's specific saints for specific things, right? Because they've been through something. So, you know what? Like, you've been through that. Can you please pray for me? And we do the same thing. So it's whether they're dead. Really, they're not dead. We don't believe they're dead. But, like, if people from the outside say that they're dead, you know.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So as we pray for each other, we ask them who are already there in front of God.
So, like, if you have something to say to, like, a pope, it's really hard to, like, talk to the pope directly. So most of the time, if it's something to do with, like, family, then you talk to a certain bishop who's been delegated authority for, like, family issues or other areas. I think it's almost like it's a distant like analogy, but you could say the same thing about saints because they're closer to God, and so we're asking for intercessions.
If you answer this to a Protestant guy, he will attack you right away. Like we have only one intercessor between us and the Father, Jesus Christ. You have the right directly to go to Jesus Christ. And but I understand what you're saying. But again, so that's of course right answers. But what about the like one time in the life of Jesus Christ? There is some people came, which is. English this moment, Sadduqiyun. They don't believe. There is Pharisees and Sadducees. Okay, the same word. Okay, and they don't believe in spirits. They don't believe in angels. Don't believe in anything. Just when you die, you will die. And then they ask Jesus Christ a tricky question. There is a woman married from someone. And this guy died, okay? Like this is the normal story. Someone married and he died. And then she married his brother. And he died. And she married his brother. And he died. 7 times. I don't know what's the problem with this lady, but that's what happened. 7 times. And now, as you, Jesus, telling us there is a resurrection, what will happen with this one? Like 7 guys waiting for her in the heaven, and she died suddenly, and now which one she will marry? And it was like, huh, answer the question. So, of course, Jesus answered them 2 answers, 2 part of answers. The first one is, in heaven, there is no marriage. This is number one. It will be like angels of God, no marriage. But then the second part of answer is like, I am the Lord, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am a God of live people, not dead. So we don't believe in death in Christianity. The only time we believe in death is like the sin. Like whoever, like, we believe in, like, when you close your eyes here, you will open it somewhere else. And we also, all of us here, because we want to open our eyes in paradise, waiting for God to be after that in heaven. That's why we have icons here. But I have a question. Like, all of us, we are looking to the altar. Like, all the church looking to the east, right? But these guys are looking to the west. Why are they giving? Why they're looking? Why they don't look to the east? Why they're looking to the west? Any answer? That's a question. Why these? Like we should all of us? Yeah, go ahead. No, that's a. I was trying to. It's working. It's working.
They're an example, like when we look at the altar, they're facing us so we can see them and learn from them.
Thank you. Thank you. And we believe the icon in the Coptic, I mean, we can talk about icon in a separate occasion, but the icon, you notice something. When we draw the icon, there's some people like facing half of their face, just portrait, and the other one, the full face. Do you know why? Like these people there, this guy who is like stabbing God, it's only half of his face. But all these guys and Abraham, Moses, one of 2 thieves, one of them was full face, and the other one just the side. Do you know what the difference? Hey, Mark. Thank you, Mark.
There are 2 differences because I was actually here when Isaac
Fenimus
was doing this.
You ruined that question, okay.
So the first difference is everybody with a full face is good.
Everybody with half a face is evil. And you'll see that the thief on our right side.
Yeah, that's bad guy.
The bad guy is the cross is smaller and darker compared to the thief on the left, who has a full face and has like a nice brown varnished cross. You'll also see one of the three soldiers.
Yes.
The one right there.
Yeah, I think so, but I mean, I'm giving a chance to talk.
And
so I think Mark, you can talk about this. Thank you, Mark. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Mark. Exactly. So in the Coptic icons, Professor Mark, thank you, said the full face mean that they're good people, like apostles, or even the right thief. Or we don't know from the Bible is the right or left, but anyway, it's traditionally the right one. So all of them, they're looking to us and telling us, okay, you can do it. Okay? Hi. You can do it. I did it. And you can do it. Exactly like when a game, like soccer game, and we are playing, and there's a people from outside, they're just, yeah, you can do it. We pray for you. You can do it. Yes. Okay, so the same way, we don't believe of death in Christianity. We believe of the victorious church and what's called struggling church. So when we ask for the prayer, we don't ask for them to carry our sins. We have only one intercessor between us and the Father, which is Jesus Christ. Yes, that's right in the Bible. And we believe, an Orthodox Church, we believe that we have only one intercessor. And what that means, he is the only one who can carry our sins. The only one can carry our death. So the Father says, okay, these people should die. And he's like, okay, he's in between us and the Father. Like, okay, I will die for them. I'm dying for them, okay? I will carry their sins. And he looked at us as like, don't worry, you will not die. I did for you. But when we ask for saints to pray for us, it's just, you are now in a better situation. You are now, you have no weaknesses. You have no problems. Okay, you had it before. You had problems before. And you're sinful before. You're a sinner before. But now you're not. You're in a better situation. So pray for me that God, just remind God, you're now there. Like, you know, I will pray. And you pray for me, so we can, like God will forgive my sin. And every time we remember, we praise, any one of them will be, pray for us. Let's say pray for us. Or in the church, in the liturgy, we'll pray for them. So it's a kind of very nice relationship. We are one church, but some people struggling, and some people, they don't have any kind of struggling anymore. Okay, we reached to the third hose, right? So the third one about the fire and the three. And then the fourth one, is very interesting. And they're saying the midnight praises stop at here, and then us, as a tongue of all creation, we start to wake up the creation. It's now we're coming to the morning, and it was like waking up the sun, waking up the moon, trees, rivers, ice. I hope they don't wake up. But I mean, we're praying for them anyway. Okay, but we're waking them up. We are me and you, the priests of the creation. We are the tongue of them. They are, of course, praising God, but they don't have tongue. We wake them up. Wake up, moon, wake up, sun, wake up, tree, wake up, water, wake up, the mountain. Everything will praise God. So it's our rule now after in the fourth, and this is the Psalm 148, 149, and 150. And all the creation will praise and glorify God. And then this is the four
hoses. And then we have seven Theotokias, and coming from Theotokos. Theotokos, which is the mother of God. And we glorify Mother in God. And now there is another problem. If you are non-Orthodox, or like Orthodox or Catholic, he was like, oh, you're praising the Mother of God. It was just, she was just a box of jewelry, unfortunately, they're saying that. I hate to say it, but I mean, kind of. It's a box of jewelry. We take the jewel, and we destroy the box. Okay, how can we answer this question? So Saint Mary, simply, they're saying that she was just a vessel. And God used this vessel to come to our earth. And then there is no point of keeping the vessel. Like, why you're praising her so much? She's just a box. Okay.
I was actually listening to a sermon by one of the priests 2 days ago.
2 days ago?
And he said, I don't know it in English, but yeah. But he said, I think it's in one of the Psalms, he says, كل مجد ابنة الملك من داخل. So like all the glory of the ابنة الملك, all the glory of the daughter of the king is from inside. So her glory is not just because she carried Jesus, her glory is because of her holiness and in her purity.
Okay. That's an answer, but it's still like, okay, she was good. They never said she was bad. They said, okay, like, she's very good. That's why God chose her. And all of it, whatever, the golden inner side. But why? Like, she's still like, there is no use. Like, now God was a baby, and he just used her womb. I hate to say that, but I mean, and then, خلاص. يعني ما تكبروش الموضوع.
She's still the mother of God. Like, she was a vessel, okay, but يعني like, she's still the mother of God. Like, hey, oh, mom to.
I put this ring in a box, and then I got the ring. The box I can put anywhere.
That doesn't mean she's not the mother of God anymore. Like, she.
Okay, she's the mother of God, but what, Mesh? Martin.
Are you saying, like, are you arguing on the, like, the, are you arguing the Protestant point of view?
Yes.
And what are they saying, like, that St. Mary is not a saint, or that she's
no,
not
she's
sacred?
Saying, she's very good, but why we're praising her too much? We're too much, it's like we're worshipping.
Okay, but it's hard to argue on specific points of view without taking Orthodoxy in its, like, entirety. It's like, when you look at Protestant theology, a lot of it is... a lot of what they're saying is right, but where it's wrong is obviously when they say that, you know, there's a direct link between you and God and that you don't need the church and all that stuff. That's completely false. But at the same time, like, a lot of what they believe is not even united. There's no union of Protestant belief or theology. So, like, you have to come to us and say what exactly they believe about St. Mary, because there is no united belief about St. Mary. So, which belief are you talking about? There's 250,000 Protestant churches.
I'm talking about this only point. She was a box, and we got the golden stuff from her, and now there is just this point.
So she was just like a means to an end. Like, she was just used, and then that's it. It's false. Like, I don't know what else we need to say about it.
We believe in that. Okay.
Okay. Mish.
Trying to find the box.
Sorry, I don't want to say too much because that's actually my talk next Friday. But okay. So I hope everyone's gonna be there. No, it's okay, it's okay. No, this is you could talk forever about Saint Mary because I love her. This is probably not a good answer. And sorry, I'm talking a lot today, and I like to talk a lot. It's probably not a sufficient answer, but this is something cool that I learned recently. Tell me, do you guys say in the Coptic Church, because I'm not 100% sure, do you guys ever say, O Most Holy Theotokos, save us. Do you guys have that prayer? Okay, so in the Eastern Orthodox Church, we actually have a prayer, like we'll go on and on. As much as we say, Lord, have mercy, we'll say, O Most Holy Theotokos, save us. Like, if a Protestant sees that, or if anyone sees that, like, you're instead of saying, like, only Jesus Christ can save us, right? We all agree on that point. So why would Orthodox be praying, O Most Holy Theotokos, save us? And I read a passage, I'm paraphrasing because I can't remember, but it was so powerful. And he was saying, like, the fact that this human being, the Virgin Mary, carried God in her womb. We call her the second heaven, like, if you can imagine. In Tasbihah, we say that, right? So just imagine a human being having God inside of her. If you believe that, how can you not praise the Virgin Mary for carrying God inside of her? That's just one thing that she did. You know, if you go to her whole life, how she lived in the temple and all that stuff, you know. And so we have the right, and we actually should be praising her. And the fact that we say, O Most Holy Theotokos, save us, she became the mother of Christ. And Christ, how do I say this right? She became the mother of all of humanity, okay? So the fact that Christ saved us, she also saved us because she's our mother. She became our mother. Just the fact, like, so we have God as our father, and she became our mother. So it's just like when you see your mom and you're like, I love you, Mom, I love you, Mom, I love you, Mom. The same way we're doing that to St. Mary. We're like, we love you, we love you, we love you. It's the same thing. Our praise is saying how much we love you.
Thank you, Misha. Okay, so I'm coming to the end, okay? Now I will do something maybe will make the answer closer. No, I'm not throwing it. Maybe Mira is listening to this sermon. So. Okay, now there is a box, and there is kind of very precious ring in it. When I take it, I really don't need this. I can't throw it, right? But it wasn't the case with St. Mary for two reasons. St. Mary, it wasn't just a wooden box. She gave her flesh and blood. And thus, this became the flesh and blood of Jesus Christ. So humanity of Jesus Christ, where did it come from? From St. Mary. This flesh and blood, he born with it, crucified with it, resurrect with it, and he raised, ascended to the heaven with it, the same. So it's not, if the ring take the nature, its nature from the box, I would be the same case, but it wasn't the same case. Saint Mary, it, like Jesus Christ, wasn't used here as a vessel. No, he took the flesh and blood from her body. That's number one. Number two, if we separate the Saint Mary from the body of Jesus Christ, that means me and you didn't have any salvation because he took our flesh and blood to give the salvation. It's not his own flesh and blood. If it's own flesh and blood, so he, this is his own salvation. He doesn't need salvation. It's our flesh and blood. And Saint Mary were representing me and you. She was the one who representing the whole humanity to give Jesus Christ the word, God, the word of God, the flesh and blood. So if we separate Saint Mary from this, we are separating or we are getting the end of our salvation. Make sense? Make sense? Any question for this? Any problems? Okay, so, and then will be seven Theotokos. And then we are using the end of this khalas. We talk about why we're praising, what the relation between me and the praise, and we'll talk about the first hose, second hose. Why the first hose? Anyone can remind me what the first hose? okay, what the relation between me and the first host? I remember two things. First one is baptism. Second one is any hard time, any problem, I'm telling God, God, I don't know what to do, but my eyes upon you. You did that before. You made a road away from no way. I'm sure you can do that today. I have an exam tomorrow, and I have a final tomorrow, and I'm sure you can make the way. Second one will be second host, which is Thanksgiving. Thank you, God, for taking care of me. So I thank God for giving me water out of a stone. My life is a stone, a rock, and you're getting water out of me. The third one was the three young. Do you remember the names? I don't remember. So I don't know. Hanania, Amin, Azaria, Misa, Misael, sa? Tayali kat. Hanania, Azaria, and Misael, sa? And they were in the middle of fire. They were in the middle of fire. But what happened in the middle of fire? Jesus, the Word, the Son, Jesus Himself came, Son of Man, and He was the fourth one. So the fire became a heaven, because that's how when Jesus Christ come. And then the fourth one was what? The fourth one was. Oh, we are waking up all the creation to praise God. And then the seventh Theotokos. And we used some name for Virgin Mary, like the holiest of holies, the ark, the covering of the ark, cherubim overshadow it, the golden pot of manna. Do you remember what is the story? The manna? Do you remember what the manna is? That's the end of it. So just answer me and we go. The manna. Huh? That's coming from the heaven. And to remember this, they have some of it and bought in a kind of a pot, and they start to like to remind themselves was what happened. So that's the Saint Mary. She was the in her womb, the Jesus Christ itself, the manna. And that haga halwa? End of the third hour, what
you're saying. The mic. It's in the litany. It says, whenever we stand in your holy sanctuary, we are considered standing in heaven. O Mother of God, Theotokos, you are the gate of heaven. Open us the gate of mercy.
In all hours, we're praising Saint Mary for that. She's the gate of heaven. Yes. Okay. Oh. Stand again.
I always wondered, I never asked Abuna, I don't know why, but maybe you would know. I don't know. I have a question. I think it's during Tasbih we say, open unto us the gates of the church. What does that mean? Like, are we actually talking about the church or the church, like, what are we talking about? Do you know?
Open the gate of the church, yeah. Or keep the gate of the church open. Right?
I think it opened unto us the gate of the church, right?
It's in
Eporu. Keep the gate of the church open, right? Okay. Interesting question. Okay. We're asking Saint Mary, right? You're saying that we're asking Saint Mary, we're asking God. You remember it? No? Mm-hmm. But we're asking God. Oh, Egali above, yeah. Okay, that's interesting. Okay. First of all, I'm not sure about why we're asking, but of course we are asking Saint Mary to pray for us and whatever. And then I think that the request or the prayer of keeping the church open, we will not understand it now, but in the history, it wasn't the same way. We don't feel the blessing of keep the church open, the gate of the church opened. It wasn't that old time. And at certain point, people like dying to enter the church. This is not answering this question. I have to go back. If is there a certain like kind of relationship? But I will tell you the story from Ethiopia. I was in Ethiopia a couple of months ago, and there people were trying to enter a church and they couldn't. They can't enter a church by ordering of the priest there. They're telling them, "You're sinners. You can't enter a church," and they close the gates. They close all gates, and people like do all the like all the hours. Like they are having even their time is like the first hour, third hour, and sixth hour, and they do all of this outside the church, way outside the church. And you're like, if you find people like, you know, they're crying to go to church and they can't, but when every time when you come and open the church door, like feel like how blessed we are. Feel like how, like, it's not easy. And in the history, like, especially in Egypt, where, like, even the Saba Arba was, like, everybody's, like, in the persecution time, was like, we're going Saba Arba because they don't want anyone to know what's where they're going to pray. We're going to Saba Arba because... So at a certain point, but, I mean, what is any kind of relation between that? I don't know, so I have to... Maybe I will get back to you if I know. Okay? And easier to ask a woman, of course. But that's an interesting question. Thank you. Any other question, comment? Any? Okay. Last revision before we go. 4 and 7, which is what? 4 what? Saba Arba. 4 hoses and 7 Theotokarius. What's hose? It's like praise. The first one was crossing the Red Sea, and we remember our baptism, and we remember if you have a big problem. That's God of the mission of impossible. Okay, like, that's our God. Second one is thanksgiving. Third one is 3 young men in the fire. And the fourth one is waking all the creations, because we are the tongue of all of them to praise God. And please do not miss the praising God. Praising God, as it happened with Jehoshaphat. Okay, God told him, okay, لا لا مش قوي كده تامر يعني. Okay, thank you Tamer for your contemplation. But in God at the end, and when they start to praise, God told him, it's not your fight anymore, it's my fight. Just go watch and set your position there, and you don't have to fight. Glory be to God forever.